This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonslow, and at 49, I can say something I never would have said when I was a player, that I'm a better person because of my failures and disgraces. I'll tell you where I got that from after we hear from our sponsor, Napa Auto Tech Training. Do you have a general service tech that you want to grow into your business, but you're lacking the path to get them there? Let Napa Auto Tech's apprentice program pave the way. Go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details. Okay, so I'm not 49 yet. And that quote, it's a little bit of a divergence from the last few episodes where I'm starting out with movie quotes or song lyrics or something like that. That quote came from a gentleman by the name of Bill Walton. And I guess I know that I've had a bit of a rash maybe of sports-related episodes, but this guy's too interesting to ignore. And unfortunately, the reason I'm talking about him is on Memorial Day, he passed away at the age of 71. And if you haven't heard of him before, it means you're probably not involved or interested in sports at all, or especially basketball. But he's so interesting because some would argue he is or was the greatest college basketball player to ever live. And that's saying something because he went to college in UCLA and he was after another center. So Bill Walton was listed at 6'11", but he was really closer to probably 7'1", 7'2". The reason he wanted to be listed at 6'11" is because he had read somewhere or had overheard that people 7 feet tall and taller were freaks. So he was listed at 6'11". But if you see him standing next to others that are seven plus feet, like Shaquille O'Neal or whatever, you'd see that he's as tall or in some cases taller. But he came in after another UCLA Bruin that I would guess almost everybody has heard of. Lou Alcindor was his original name when he was in college and first couple of years in the NBA until he changed his name due to his change in religion to Islam. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who some people would argue is in the conversation for being one of the greatest basketball players / professional basketball players to ever play the game. There is a strong argument that Bill Walton was an even better college basketball player. And he really didn't come from a sports family. He really came from a family of, his parents were big into reading and music and art. So his interest in basketball was kind of a departure, something that they couldn't share much with him. Not that they didn't support him, but to go on and be what he became without much of a lineage for it, it's kind of interesting. Very outspoken, even in college, had been arrested a few times for protesting the Vietnam War, the treatment of veterans, stuff like that. And he wins as part of the team, part of the UCLA Bruins, won 88 games in a row. He won 2 national championships and won the College Player of the Year 3 years in a row. Okay, 3 years, you're thinking, by today's standards, it's impressive, right? If you went to school for 4 years, this is back when freshmen did not play on the varsity team. Freshmen automatically sat out. So 3 years was every year he played on the varsity team. He won the College Player of the Year. And in one national championship game, he went 21 of 22. He missed one shot the whole game. Some people would argue it's the greatest played game in history of college basketball. And then he went on to be the number one pick in the NBA, going to the Portland Trailblazers. And it's a team sport, so nobody single-handedly does anything. But what he brought to the team was an unselfishness. So I think if you would talk to anybody that's a big fan of basketball and knew of Bill Walton, what they would say about him was how unselfish he was, passing the basketball, averaging, and we're talking like the 70s, 5 assists a game from the center position was unheard of, except your winner Wilt Chamberlain, who just 1 year decided he wanted to lead the league in assists, which he did. Different story. But he brings an unselfishness with him that was really just part of his personality, but cultivated at UCLA under John Wooden. And John Wooden is probably worthy of an episode on his own, if I don't annoy everyone with the sports analogies, but it works really well. Sports, team sports, businesses, it's just the parallels are there and they're very strong. So he goes to the Portland Trail Blazers and they become a force, eventually winning the championship. In the NBA, you play a 7-game series, especially in the later rounds of the playoffs and, of course, the finals. And he's going up against Dr. J and the Philadelphia 76ers. And everyone's on Dr. J's side because it's freaking Dr. J. That was a lot of people looked at him as being just the preeminent basketball player, amazing athlete, the precursor to what we would see from David Thompson and Michael Jordan, and just follow that along. They go, Portland Trail Blazers lose the first 2 games to the Philadelphia 76ers. And really, Bill puts his team on his back. And again, nobody single-handedly does anything in a team sport, but he leads the way to a 4-game and 4 wins in a row. And they end up winning and beating Dr. J. The thing is Bill Walton played in the NBA, I think, a total of 14 seasons. And by that, I mean, I think he was under contract for 14 seasons. He missed almost 10 due to injury. So he had some foot problems. And part of the reason is big guy, 7 feet something, actually quite an athletic 7-foot individual. And again, we're talking like the 70s. So you're just not seeing super athletic, tall people like today. But he was one of them. He could jump quite high. And I don't mean just because he's 7 feet tall, but his vertical leap was really impressive. And at risk of talking about stereotypes, he could jump pretty darn high and had quite the vertical leap for a white guy, which that's kind of being dispelled because the last 2 slam dunk contests have been won by a white guy, but weren't really known for being high flyers. But he could get up and his feet paid for it. And there are multiple things going on, right? Just 1, probably structurally with his foot. 2, footwear back then. He's probably running on essentially flat shoes with little to no cushioning. And then medical, the medical technology back then. I've heard doctors that looked at his x-rays of his feet and mentioned that they no longer had anything to do with or any reflection or any, it would be hard to identify them as human feet. So all the surgeries, all the fusions done in his feet, his ankles, and because of that, it led up to problems with his back. Like it just debilitating. So he had, I think, 3 really good seasons in Portland because of the way they handled his injuries. And I think it's just back in the day, you played hurt. There's a time and a place for that. In this case, it was doing more harm than good. Has a falling out, goes to what ends up being the San Diego Clippers that now become the LA Clippers. And he's there for a few seasons and they're not a good team, right? He's not going to win. He's all about winning. He ends up going to the Boston Celtics. And it's probably, again, if you follow basketball, you probably hear about the 1986 Boston Celtics and how they are, if they're not the greatest team in basketball history, they're often mentioned in that group, whatever it would be, right? The Showtime Lakers, the 86 Celtics, the the 72 win Chicago Bulls, Golden State Warriors, 73 wins, etc. Just they're in that conversation. And Bill Walton is the sixth man. He's coming off the bench. It has one of those seasons where he's kind of back to himself and wins sixth man of the year. And the Celtics go on to win a championship that year. And he gets hurt again after that into the next season. And really, that's the end of his career. He goes into broadcasting. The amazing thing about that is, and it's not new. I mean, there's other broadcasters out there, but he was a stutterer. I think he said he had a pretty bad stutter all the way up into his 20s. And even when he was a broadcaster, he would struggle with stuttering when the microphone was off. But when the microphone went on, clear as could be. And he dealt with it, right? He got better. He got to the point where he really didn't stutter anymore. And kind of got a new lease on life, if you will, or career, as there are many, many people that would tune in to games he would call just to hear him, just to listen to him. Very passionate, old school, entertaining, very entertaining. His personality started to really show through. NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in a town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. Auto Tech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training.
He had a heck of a career in broadcasting, honestly, all the way up to the end. And the end was unbeknownst to a lot of people, including those in the media that knew him, cancer. And I guess the reason to talk about this is, one, the quote I started out with. Another one that kind of hits home is, success at the highest level comes down to one question. Can you decide that your happiness can come from someone else's success? And I think that was Bill Walton to a fault. Winning in high school, winning in college, winning in the professional levels. Setting aside personal goals, setting aside personal success with the purpose of team success. And if the team succeeded, he succeeded. And not just monetarily, also just, dare I say, spiritually. There is joy in being a part of something that's successful and being a part of, even a small part of, someone else's success. Whatever the degree that means, is it showing somebody how to do something? Be it a coworker, someone online? Is it hooking them up with an entity or sending them, you have a few extra whatever tools, and sending them one of them either at a massive discount or for free or whatever. I'm not trying to promote the right way to help somebody out, but it's just legitimately helping somebody and then actually seeing them succeed. Is it learning, becoming adept at something?
using a piece of equipment or diagnosing a certain system or working on a certain system, developing a protocol or a process, and then sharing it, be it in a classroom environment, be it on social media, whatever, and then watching people take that and apply it and seeing them succeed, giving somebody some advice and watching them take it and succeed, how to run their business, how to deal with an employee, how to deal with an employer, so much of that. And can you feel successful, at least partially, because you're seeing someone else succeed that you may have had a hand in? And I'm horrible about assigning percentages of fault or contribution. Like, I would leave that up to somebody else. But what non-zero percent contribution or effect did you have positively on somebody that resulted in them succeeding, whether it's succeeding on a specific vehicle, succeeding in their shop environment, in their career? Was it ultimately to get out of a bad situation and find a good situation and helping them find that situation? Or the list goes on and on and on, and how we can help each other and how we can have positive effects on one another. And I think that was what Bill Walton was about. And that just never gets old. I would just urge you, if you're struggling to find something to watch on YouTube and you're bored and you're taking a break from training videos or whatever, to punch Bill Walton into your search bar and just watch some videos. And you want to see him play basketball? Not a waste of time. Want to listen to him talk, telling stories about playing basketball and being under the tutelage of a John Wooden, or team, listening to him talk about being part of a team, how much that meant to him, and to the degree of being a part of a team, like relishing everything about being part of a team. When he went to the Celtics, mind you, technically, he was the hero for a couple of those players. One of them was Larry Bird. But when he got there, Larry Bird did not treat him like a hero. It was major, major ball busting. And it went all around everybody. And that camaraderie and the relishing that camaraderie, relishing the practices, relishing the games, the tight games, the battles. Gosh darn it, sometimes we could borrow a little bit of that. I understand, like, it's a tough parallel to draw, right? I don't know. This was quite the time of where Bill Walton would have been making millions playing for the Celtics. I'm sure it was somewhere in that range. I suppose I could really look it up and per that time and place, making an excellent living and playing a game for a living. And we're working. And yes, there's many, many aspects of my job I absolutely love. Sometimes it's still a freaking job. It's not playing. And I wish it was. That'd be cool to get paid to play, but there's times it's a job. But there's aspects of it that I think I and everybody could get better about relishing the camaraderie of coworkers, relishing the challenges and the successes and learning from the failures and taking just the failures suck. The misses suck. And I don't mean misses by misfire wives. I mean misdiagnosis, mistakes. They suck. But sometimes when there's something to learn from it, it wasn't just a complete waste, that you could take something away, a lesson, in the back of your mind at least, crack a smile because you're getting better and better and honing this craft and improving that work environment. Yeah, I mean, just take a moment to really think about it. We're only going to be doing this for a finite amount of time. When it's done, it's done. And sure, I guess I can kind of see where, if the retirement plans and being able to not have to work, or flat out refusing to work anymore, and living off whatever you've saved slash invested, but I think we'd all miss it a little bit. And maybe it isn't just everything, but there's going to be the camaraderie. There's going to be those challenges, that purposefulness. I think, gosh darn it, is worth time to look into Bill Walton a little bit. I don't want to forget this. He did not play a lot of years. When he did, he was a generational talent. He was game changing, and not just like the games he played in, but I mean, he changed the sport. And even while not putting together a lot of games played, he still made the top 50 list. And so I think they came up with the top 50 players. And then recently, I think they had like a 75-year team. So the NBA was 75 years old. So they came up with the 75 greatest players to play in the NBA. And he made that list. He made the Hall of Fame as a player he did have two championships. One of them, he was the sixth man on an extremely good team. And the other, he did. He led them. But there's a lot of people that have won championships that aren't in the Hall of Fame. But he got put in the Hall of Fame partially because of how he revered the game and played the game, changed the game. And then partially because the back of everyone's mind, there was what could have been. What if he didn't have those foot problems? What if the medical technology was advanced such that he could come back from a foot injury and actually reach and maintain his potential? And I think just the idea of that, how good that would have been, was enough for people to vote him into the Hall of Fame. And just, we never got to see him sustain his potential, but knowing what it could have been and seeing those flashes of it was enough to get him there. That's absolutely amazing. So I'll wrap this one up, and I hope you look into the guy. I really do. Pretty amazing view on life, and just really trying to make every moment count and be the best it possibly could be, and trying to be just positive effect on everybody around him. And we could all probably borrow a little bit of that. So that is where I'll leave you. Thank you so very much for listening. And again, if you have comments about the episode, ideas for future episodes, would like to be on the podcast, please reach out. You can find me on social media, instant message me. You can also email me at mattfonzlepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you to Napa Auto Tech Training for sponsoring, and thank you to the Aftermarket Radio Network, even Tracy, for making this all possible. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Matt Fonslow, diagnosing the aftermarket A to Z on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Matt on your favorite listening app. He's very interested in what you have to say. Let him know what you'd like him to cover and come on the show. Matt is all for advancing the aftermarket. Find Matt Fonslow on social media and connect, or on aftermarketradionetwork.com.